Hi, and welcome to the Dark Web Vlogs, where I am sharing the experiences I've had working with clients on some of the most outrageous deals being run over the dark web. The job I'll be talking about today has to do with the widespread idea that there are reptilian aliens or lizard people living among us, married to us, and even ruling us. This job was based out of the City of Angels, a city that proved to be much more than that. Many of you have heard about the Lizard People's Catacomb City. Are you a believer? The job I was on cut through the easy-to-set-aside fantasy that there are walking lizards living underground, an idea that is easy to brush off, or maybe you watch a movie on it, and at the end of the day, most of us take comfort in the fact that it just cannot be real. I was called in to seek out the real answer, and when one woman came to me to solve the mystery for her, no one could have known how it would turn out. They call me the Ghost. I'm ex-CIA and now a dark operative on the dark web. I've worked a lot of jobs, and today is my account of what happened when I was called on by a celebrity looking for the truth. Take a listen and enjoy. Hi guys, so I'm over here in Switzerland on this job, but after giving you the Roswell story, another story came to mind. And I mean, while I'm over here waiting for stuff, I don't need to just be sitting here doing nothing. I don't do well sitting around in the first place. So I figured, why not use these breaks to keep sharing? I have so many stories. This job that I'm on, a job in progress, takes a while to unfold, but there are still many that I can tell you about that have already happened. And because I've been talking about dimensional travel, I was reminded of this job I'm about to tell you about because it too has to do with a set of beings from one world traveling and coming to occupy another. And the beings I'm talking about today are what most refer to as the lizard people. And I don't love using that term, but it's the one people recognize. Keep listening and you'll find out why there's so much more behind this than giant lizards that live underground. I mean, call it a legend, call it a conspiracy theory, call it whatever you want. Maybe you've never heard of it, but the lizard people do exist, and there are species that have been trying to infiltrate us for years. But okay, let's get to this request. It came to me one spring, and at that time, I was actually looking to take a trip of my own to officially end winter, and I was going to go ice climb the Matanuska Glacier in Alaska. I get this request that comes in, though, and immediately my planning gets put on hold. The request said that this woman, who we've all seen on the big screen, by the way, and I can't tell you her name, obviously, but let's call her Kara. Anyway, Kara sounds pretty desperate, telling me that she had nowhere else to turn, that she believes her husband, an A-lister, has secrets. Secrets that she is simply not equipped to dig into, and she's afraid that she wouldn't be able to handle the truth if she was left to find it by herself. Her fear? That her husband is of another breed, a reptilian, and part of an elite group that focuses on power and ushering the human race in the direction they want us to go. Well, I agree to meet with Kara, and she gives me a day and a time to meet her on Catalina Island. She obviously didn't want anyone to see her meeting anyone. Catalina is a channel island off Southern California. You've probably heard of it. And requests from California, you know, they tend to be a little out there anyway. And this one's no different. As I'm on the boat over to the island, there's a lot of things going through my mind, you know. There's the possibility that this woman is just crazy. I've seen her movies and the headlines talking about her issues of late with her marriage and life. I don't like to read too much into that stuff, but I'll be honest, some of those stories are based on truth. And the people writing those stories are just writing what they want around it because they don't really have the full story. Well, with this celeb in the news, I'm about to get the full story. So I get over there and I meet her at a small cottage that she's rented. She answers the door and she's nervous. I mean, she's moving pretty fast. She's talking fast. She has papers everywhere. And she's wearing, you know, white capris, a tank top, and a scarf around her neck. So she's nervously moving around, but she looks put together. It's like she walked right out of the 50s with a modern-day flair that celebrities seem to have. Me, I'm in all black, like usual, and I look more like I'm about to hop on a sport bike, so already we make quite the pair. Anyway, she's talking and talking while making this batch of margaritas, and she brings out two of them. We sit down at the dining room table. Well, no margarita for me, but she pretty much chugs hers. And then she takes the one meant for me, and she starts sipping that. She's calming down and sort of starts over. She introduces herself formally and thanks me for taking the time to meet her. I tell her I'm glad to be there and that I'd like for her to start in the beginning. You know, how did she get this suspicion? And does she have any proof so far that her husband is not all the way human? She tells me that it all started with these meetings that her husband said he was going to. He said he was participating in some actors club, you know, sharing ideas and latest techniques. But after a while, she thought maybe he was having an affair. I mean, he would not miss these meetings. And this was all on top of the religious group he was a part of that she admits she really wanted nothing to do with. But in the name of love, she agreed to be a part of it. And I'll talk more about that later. But, you know, this is her situation. She's not happy and she's confused and she's scared. So her husband spends a lot of time away from her, and it was distracting her and hurting her career. Over time, she became obsessed about where he was going and decided to have him followed. Well, he was going to some kind of meeting, but it didn't make all that much sense. When followed on meeting night, he would always go to this one particular restaurant in Hollywood. But when the PI followed him inside, he seemed to have disappeared, like he wouldn't be there. I mean, this guy following him couldn't just walk in with her husband, but even trying to be just a few steps behind him, it was unclear where he actually went when he got inside. But one time, the PI decided to beat her husband there. He knew where he was going, so he would just get there first. And he did, and he waited. And when her husband, and let's just call him A-List, because he's been big time for a while now. So when A-List gets there, he goes to this small room in the back. And the PI sneaks back there and he sees A-List go through this trap door to who knows where. So now Kara's racking her brain about all of that. When one day she woke up early, and A-List always got up really early to take a swim in the ocean and they'd come back in and shower, like around 5 a.m. And he didn't know that she was up, and when she crept up by the bathroom to see what he was doing, she saw something that she just couldn't explain, and it frightened her. He was standing there in the shower, and through the glass, she saw him change. If he puts his face to the shower, it changed. When he turned his back and put that to the water, it changed. His skin, that he went to great lengths to care for, turned to that of scales, and she saw a mix of greens and yellows. And she was horrified. She met her friends for coffee breaks and drinks many times after that and would try to see if they knew anything like this or have experienced something similar. Not by asking them directly, she would work it into the conversation, you know, through jokes or, hey, did you see that story? That kind of thing. And after putting together some of the feedback she got, she landed on the lizard people. And so she started looking into that herself. That was the only explanation she could find. And she had seen it for her own eyes. Starting to go crazy, she put her feelers out in the elite Hollywood community and found me. She didn't even know where to begin. She wanted to get to the bottom of this, but was afraid to. I mean, what would her marriage mean? Her career? The world, for that matter? I mean, like I always say, I always have to have an extremely open mind for this job. And I have a curiosity that some people might not be able to handle. And this job would be to find out who or what her husband really is and what he's a part of. Well, I agree to take this job. So I get more details about A-List and their lives, and I call on Jagger and Scarlett to join me in California. And I actually have a space in LA, and that's what we're going to use for our base. It's a working office, so I mean, we can work there, eat there, shower, sleep, everything. So my team gets in, and we start to organize some of the stuff that I had them bring. We need surveillance equipment, tracking GPS for both Kara and A-List cars, my tools for breaking and entering. You know, we always need those types of things when we're dealing with information that's seriously kept secret, like what's happening here. Different papers and scripts and notes to help us get in on the inside if we need them. Different things like that. And of course, I have all my computer equipment because for this, I will definitely need to be in all places I can. It's not like anything that we're talking about here is going to be easy to find or prove. So we get set up, and then the next day is when we really start. A-List meets his little group of whatever it is every Thursday night, and it's Thursday. So I find him and I start following him around. He just got done filming a movie that's part of a big franchise, and he's still meeting at the studio, so he's been going to Paramount every morning after his, you know, swim shower routine. So I follow him there. And knowing this before my team travels, Jagger was able to create some passes for us to be on the inside of the lot. So not only do we follow him to the lot, we follow him in. And the day, well, part of the day he was there, didn't really send up any alarms until he meets with three other well-knowns, and one of them hands him this blue packet. And after that all happens, A-List leaves. You know, he just gets his packet, and then he takes off and heads home. And there was something weird about that handoff. I mean, who knows? It could be just another script, but I want to find out. So I get a hold of Kara, and I tell her that I know he's coming home with it, and to snoop it out if she can. Well, she does even better than that. Because A-List gets home, and it turns out he's going golfing the rest of the day. And I mean, he's not thinking that Kara has anything to be suspicious about, so he leaves that packet in the trunk of his car. Perfect. So he leaves, and I'm standing by to get in there as soon as he does, and Kara's able to get the packet so that we can look it over for ourselves. She buzzes me in to their very secure and gated home, and we check it out. She's already started reading it when I get in, and she just has this look of horror on her face. She sees me, and she just hands it to me, so I sit down, and I read it all over. And this packet laid out the topic for their next meeting. It reviews the plan. It kind of looked like a business document, really, with stats and reviews of how well a company would be doing or something, but it isn't about a company. This packet is about the melting of one species into another, and I'm talking about them into us. It goes over the numbers, and I can see that the result of all the computing of what they call their community shows us that they are behind in their original goals. That, and they check on this every year. Watching the numbers more closely became a thing in the early 80s. You know, back then, things seemed to be moving really quickly, seemed to be going really well. And the people were so busy, you know, just being in the 80s that they didn't even notice what was happening. And then on the other side of things, the reptilian nation thought they were just going to shoot to the top, that the flip would happen soon, and that they were set to become the dominant race any minute. Their Hollywood members even put out that TV series, V, to help prepare the humans for the big lizard takeover. But they would come to find that they were way behind back then. They were nowhere near ready. And that's when the long-term plan came for the merge was put together. And here we are today, and they're still working towards that goal. This packet I was reading explained that it was time for a spike. They needed a boost, and they were all encouraged to keep mating and procreating with the humans. I mean, this thing was incredible. Was this a joke? Unfortunately not. So I had Jagger place himself at that restaurant bar that A-List would be going to that night. I placed Scarlett on the inside of the life of A-List and Kara. She would be staying with them in their home. And Kara would explain that by saying that she was undergoing intense acting instruction and that Scarlett was sent from New York to help Kara brush up on her skills for Broadway. That was something she actually did want to explore. It all made sense, and A-List thought nothing of it, so we were right where we needed to be. That night, I follow A-List to the restaurant. Nothing exciting. I didn't really learn anything on that trip. You know, Jagger's on the inside, and basing his position off where the PI said the action was, he waits. And sure enough, he sees A-List go into the floor. Again, nothing exciting, though, because, I mean, we're blind, and that's not going to work. I go inside and sit with Jagger, and we figure out a plan. This restaurant, this place, shuts down at 10 p.m., so we need to either be on the inside when that happens or find a way to get inside after 10. Well, there's no good place to hide in there, so we don't really have a choice, and we're going to have to break in. We watch closely as they lock everything up and turn on the alarm system. I was actually hoping they wouldn't have an alarm or the cameras they have out front, but they do. So it just means that we're going to have a small delay getting in the inside. But I break out my bag from the trunk of my vehicle, and using my wireless hack system, I sync up with their alarm. And instead of turning it off, which would leave a record, I reprogram it to bypass the notifications for any sort of movement or break-in. And then I go into the cameras and take over. And that one's easy enough. I fill it with a looping video of the last 15 minutes, and that'll take care of that just fine. And then we're in. We know exactly where to go. And in that back room, we find extra stacks of cases of beer and liquor. And there's a food fridge and freezer off to the side. I mean, for someone that would have no idea what's really in there, it does just look like a basic stockroom area, and it functions as one. But we know better, and we pull the heavyweight rubber mat to the side, and underneath it is the door. So we're staring at this door, and we have no idea what's beyond it, but we have to go in. We place a camera to monitor anything that happens on one of the shelves that holds the canned goods and things, and it's set to record for the next 24 hours. We, of course, shouldn't be gone that long. We also leave the back door of the restaurant unlocked so that we can make a quick exit if we need to. And that's it. I have a pack of supplies, and we lift up that door. And I don't know if we expected, you know, a huge group of reptiles to be down there ready to shoot us down or something, but there was nothing. We can't see anything. It's dark. But we do see a staircase, so we make our way down. And it's dark, so we break out our small flashlights. And we get down, it's just one level, and we're in a room, but there's nothing there. We don't see anything. But then Jagger spots it. One of the walls is slightly off, and sure enough, it's a fake wall that someone didn't close all the way. And we open it, and it opens to this big circular room. And we're able to flip on the lights in there, and it's actually pretty cool. I mean, there's nothing in there, but all the lights hang from these crazy cords, and the effect was really cool. But what we also see is a couple symbols on the floor. There's the famous S with two triangles, you know, the S being, you know, a serpent of knowledge, a symbol of Satan, and the S and the triangles are the symbol of Scientology. And above that is an etched-in reptilian head. And this throws us off at first. I mean, Scientology is all over the place out there in Cali, but what does that have to do with all this lizard stuff? You know, we just add it to the list of things we need to find out. We don't want to spend a ton of time down there in this place, so we keep moving forward. The options in front of us are eight doors. They line the walls of this room. So we start with one and we go in, and it leads down this long hallway. And when we head down it, we see it breaks off into different places. It's like an underground maze. And we go back, and one by one, we're going through these doors and we're finding more and more hallways that break off into who knows where. The seventh door we open is different though. There's another small staircase leading down. And then you walk through what looks like just an entranceway. And beyond that, there's a really large room. And it looks sort of like a medieval conference hall or something. It's made of stone and like a sandstone material. It's like Indiana Jones stuff. There are big lights above and benches and chairs and this large cement table up in the front. And behind that is a podium. And behind that are two sets of stacked stone benches. And they're on either side of the podium, like a church choir might be. And all around this big room, on the walls, you see statues that line the walls every few feet. And they're of human bodies and reptilian heads, men and women. I walk up to that big table, and I see something's on it. And looking closer, I see that there are red drip marks running down the sides of this thing. And I know instantly this is blood. I mean, this table's been cleaned, that's obvious. But these drips are soaked in from something that's happened more than once. We don't know what that's all about, but we keep going. We go up to the podium, and on the backside of that, there are shelves behind some glass, but it's locked. Well, I want in, and it only takes a couple of minutes for me to get in. And I find three large books and some kind of necklace, and I pick it up, and it's made of some heavy, dark gold, and it has jewels that line the chain, and then this piece that hangs down that looks like it's made from processed moonstone. You can see through it, and inside of it, there's a line of scales, almost like you'd see on a sheet of scaled skin. But there's no skin, it's just these scales, like carefully placed in each location. These scales are from something, or maybe someone. But what does any of this mean? And we don't know, but we're gonna keep digging until we find out. Okay, well, we decide that we've been underground long enough and we don't want to chance it. You know, we can always come back. So we get photos of everything we see and get out of the underground. We get our video surveillance equipment off the shelf in the stockroom, put everything back, and head out. Back at our base, we're set up to connect to our system back home, which is great because, I mean, these items are not exactly something you're just going to find on Google. I have to dig deeper into all of it. I set up a sweep to run over the dark web, and I also hack into all of A-List's devices. Harley, who's helping me from our home office, will watch what it finds. I also send her all the pictures of what we saw, and she will dig for anything she can on those items in that crazy room. We also catch up with Kara, who tells us that after Alyssa's last meeting, he came home with a bottle of wine, told her how much he loved her, and all of that led to a conversation about he wanted to expand their family. At that point, they only had their one daughter. Kara had sent her to stay with family while we were there conducting our investigation, and she told Alyssa they were thinking of joining Scientology and that sending their daughter there would help. That's the only way she got away with that. But Kara went along with all of this, but really deep inside, she was disgusted. I mean, it just followed the plan for the merge. You know, they were to procreate. And he was just trying to help the cause. And she can play along and put that stuff off while we monitor the information collected from A-List and make a plan to be at that next Thursday night meeting. I haven't seen any proof of this reptilian nation yet for myself. And to do the job right, I can't just rely on what this upset wife is saying. You know, she wants proof, and that's what I'm here to get for her, too. Unfortunately for me, that means this job is going to take longer than a few days, but I have to stay and see this thing through. So monitoring A-List devices, we learn that the next meeting is a big one. They're calling it an elevation ceremony. And certain members of the community were to be elevated to a more advanced level, and A-List was one of them. So it's a ceremony or celebration for those that are rising up the ranks. And now, you know, we can't stop the reptilian nation altogether, but we can attempt to collect enough evidence to provide the proof to Kara. That's the job. And I'm not sure yet what the elevation ceremony altogether does, but we are going to do our best to make sure that A-List returns home in one piece. And to do this, we need to be in this meeting so we can see what takes place. With what we've found so far, I tend to believe that there is something going on with all of this. I'm just not sure what it all means yet. For Kara, she only had the one sighting of A-List's reveal in that shower that day. And now, you know, she's leaving the investigating to us so that he doesn't catch on to her trying to catch him. You know, she didn't really watch him to the point of being obvious, but she was trying to catch him in the shower again or see if anything happens any other time he wasn't near water. But she hasn't seen that change in him since. You know, she doesn't want to believe it, but she can't really go on with normal life either. Maybe what she saw wasn't real. Maybe she was half asleep and didn't know what she saw. The doubt was too much, and it would be very easy for her to give into it, but she wanted the final word, the truth, so that she could go on with her life, with him or without him. And this next meeting would hopefully give us what we were looking for. All right, in preparation of that meeting, we start to sift through what information my system has collected so far. From A-List communications and things, we find his invitation to this ceremony. And it says that he will rise to a new level and be bonded and blended. And I mean, we don't know what any of that means. We also learn that he will be given a ring as a symbol of his new rank, only to be worn in these meetings or if he's in a desperate time of need. And if he goes through with this and accepts this ring, with that comes a new level of commitment, a more serious commitment for A-List. We also see the guest list, and this is a treasure trove of information for people wanting to know. And I would love to put this thing out there, but any direct transfer of information on jobs like this from me to you crosses a line that I will not risk my livelihood to do. You know, you guys always ask, you know, why can I tell you things? And I've explained that, but when it gets to a certain level with regards to intel, like names of people and things like that, that's a great example of what I will not do. But I can say, go ahead and think of maybe a past president. Think about all the great actors that you love, and then think about them again. And this list I saw was only the people that are going to the ceremony. I mean, I'd love to see a list of who all is in this little club, but I didn't get that this time. Okay, well, we also learned that those that are elevated are most definitely connected to the Scientology religion. And it's not until I talk to Harley again that I find out more about what Scientology even has to do with any of this. And I find out it's the cover for all of it. We also learn that A-List is, his life is sort of planned out for him, and he's on the track of three children, meaning three children are expected of him, and they only will count if they are brought up on the inside. They will be hybrids, of course, and their lives, their purpose, should only be set to the goals of the community. His wife is disposable, basically an extension of himself to help him accomplish certain things. And I'm not talking about it in the way of traditional marriage says. It's more that a wife, the wife of a man like this, is there to serve his needs, help him look normal, even more successful, or more of someone to envy. She needs to be in a high-powered position in society, which Kara is, and will be willing to leave anything in her old life behind and fully pledge herself to be devoted to the community. And then this is what I meant in the beginning of this vlog, you know, Kara went along with him in this religion because she loved him. But all of that was wearing on her too. You know, she wasn't supposed to talk to her parents much, and she couldn't talk to anyone else really, unless it was for the purpose of her career. And speaking of that, before this next meeting happens, we also check in with Scarlett. She's a pretty good spy, and it's amazing the stuff she can find out about somebody right under their nose. So she finds out that when Alys goes for a swim in the morning, something is happening. She says it's hard to see, though, but he definitely changed while he was in that water. She could see his reflection in the moonlight, and like Kara, saw a hint of green and yellow. Other things about him were that he loved his telescope, and he looked through it every day, without fail, before his dip in the ocean each morning. Not really sure what he was looking for there. She also saw something that even she had a hard time believing. But one of the days that Kara was rushing home, she parked a little crooked in their driveway, and Scarlett swears that she saw A-List walk by it after he got home, and then he went back to it, picked up the back end just enough, and moved it to straighten it out. So he has extra strength, it would seem. He didn't drink, smoke, or use foul language. He'd hear things coming from outside that neither Cora or Scarlett heard. He'd even get up from the couch or wherever he was to try to find out what it was out the window. And Scarlett said that if he looked right at you, a chill would run down your spine. I mean, perfect if you're a giddy fan, because, you know, you just think that that's why that was happening. But Scarlett isn't a fan, and she says that's not what's happening. She believes he's emitting some kind of piercing energy. So that tells us a little bit about him in the everyday. I then work with Harley back home, and we work on those scans over the dark web to find out what we can. We discover that Scientology as a whole is bringing in people so they can build up their reptilian nation. No, they can't change a human into a lizard, but they can warp their minds and get them in line, take their money, show them the way, and make it as impossible as they can for anyone to leave. And it was also very interesting to find out that there are other cults, you know, in our country and others, that are a part of all of this. To the outside, it would look like they're completely separate from Scientology, and certainly not lizards, right? But more of them are connected than you probably want to know. These other cults would be as if, you know, a company had a field office. They're run a little bit differently, less money goes through them. Their main purpose, though, is to wipe the minds of the people that join and then use them to breed as much as they can. So they're basically hybrid breeding farms that are run and governed by the offices of Scientology, which is really the headquarters for the reptilian nation above ground. They have a pretty good reach with this setup. I mean, if you can't afford Scientology or you don't want to join that, they have many other options and ways they can still get to you. So if you start to get down in your life and you become vulnerable, you could become one of their targets. And then because your thinking is skewed, you would never realize what's happening. I mean, think about it. And hey, I mean, some of you might be part of some of these groups, and I'm not saying that all groups are connected to this, but a lot of you have, you know, watched the shows about these types of groups that they refer to as cults. And some of you find yourself asking questions, you know, didn't these people know what was happening? Or how could they fall for this? And you're saying to yourself that you would totally know it was a scam, right? But some of this ties into what Scarlett said. You know, they do emit an energy, and if you come to them vulnerable, you're actually more open to receive that energy. And that's when it starts, the ushering of the people to where they want them to go. So you can see that there's a lot to this, and we could go on learning more and more things that would without a doubt be shocking. But our job is for Kara. We can't get too far away from our real goal here, but to understand all of this helps us know what we're dealing with. Okay, well then we come upon meeting day. So early that Thursday morning, and I mean really early, like 2 a.m, we sneak back into that restaurant and we have supplies. In that big meeting or presentation room conference hall, we set up little canisters that are ready to be set off if we need them. Once they set off, they will blow out tear gas throughout that room or chamber, and it will force the ceremony to end and everyone out. And we're not going to use this unless we have to, but if anything crazy goes down with A-List, We will do what we have to do. If I get proof that A-List is some sort of reptile or lizard or whatever, I want to make sure he goes back home in a shape that Kara can actually deal with. Jaeger and I also set up another surveillance camera at the entrance of that room. And this thing is great. You know, things can be really far away, but it is far-reaching, and it can get very clear video, even if the light's not optimum. We will record what we can and bring what we get to Kara. If anything goes on that we think will change A-List in any way, you know, more than he already is, we will do what we can to sabotage the ceremony. So we get all set up, but now, you know, we can't leave, right? The meeting is that night, and as soon as someone gets there that morning, they will be watching over that door very closely to the underground. So we have food and water, and we don't have another choice. You know, we have to sit there and wait. And you're probably wondering, you know, won't someone see us when they get in there? Well, we're hoping not. And when you walk down the stone steps to this large room, there is a space underneath it. And on each side of it, there are these metal grates that are dark and they're decorated with more jewels and little reptilian heads. And we blowtorch around the one that's on the right side if you're walking down. And we're able to pull it free. And there's a space under there. And we can temporarily stick that back in place. I mean, we don't sit in there all day. That would make us crazy. But we keep an eye on the hallway. And if anyone's starting to come down, we're ready to dive in. And the day's a long one, I'll admit. And this does happen every so often on a job. There can be a lot of action. Or you can just be sitting like this for quite a while. Or working on the most tedious thing that can take hours. But that's just how it goes. Later into the evening, we do start to hear people coming. And it's about an hour before A-List usually shows up. The people that come in start to go over a list. And I'm assuming it's the list of those that are being elevated because A-List is on it. They go over who will do what, and there's some small talk and some laughter too. And then more people show up. And I see that one of them has a chalice. So they also break out some of the things that they have stowed away from under the podium. They take out the books, and one of them puts on the necklace. They lay a cloth down on this big stone table, and they put this chalice on it. And one of the men that arrived later also brought a wooden box. And the guy with the necklace opens it, and it seems to us that that box is full of the rings. Necklace guy sets it down on the cloth on that stone table next to the chalice, and eventually other people start to show up. And that list that I saw earlier was no joke. There are people all of us would recognize at this meeting, or ceremony rather. And then, like he always does, on time, A-List shows up. He and a few of the others are put in the seats near the front. And then the ceremony starts to come together. There are two groups of people that start to sit in those stacked benches behind the podium, and this is where things really started to get weird. As these people take their seats on those benches, they turn. They turn from being the people we recognize into creatures I've never seen before. They have scales. I'm seeing blues and greens and oranges and yellows. And their faces actually take on a new shape, as do their bodies, but slightly. The guy with the necklace calls six people up to the front. And he takes a position on the far side of that big stone table with the chalice on it. And then three of the guys go on one side and three go on the other side. And he gives them a knife. And they slice through their arms. And they stand there, taking turns, letting their blood drip into this chalice, while the main guy says all this ritual stuff that none of us would really understand. And when the chalice is full, to his liking, each of the six men get towels, and they take to their seats. The next part of what the main guy says is stuff we can actually understand. And it's clear that once a member drinks from that chalice, they get their ring, but it also means that they're changed forever. The guys that have contributed blood to this chalice are already elevated. By someone drinking this, like A-List, they will then be blended with them. With their new powers that will get transferred to them, the reptilian in them becomes stronger. If they ever wanted to try to live their lives like a human, and they wanted to go that direction, after this they would no longer and never again have that chance. They would no longer be able to keep their reptilian at bay for any real length of time. Well, we could not let A-List drink from this chalice. That was clear. Or get this ring. Or complete the ritual of this ceremony. It just couldn't happen. We can only control, you know, what's happening while we're there. And once we leave, I mean, he could just go ahead and do this another day or another week. But for now, we do have control, and we're here for Kara to give her some time. It's a quick decision to set off those canisters. And as Necklace Guy goes on with some more of his preaching, we get out from under the staircase, put the grate back, and pull our camera down. We send a message to Scarlet, who's standing by, to drive us and meet us out back. And then we set off the tear gas and we head up. And when we get to the top and pop back out the door of the floor, we do catch the guy on guard by surprise. And, you know, but we're all in black. There's no way he can see who we are. I mean, even our faces are covered with cloth. We have oxygen masks on. And he's surprised, but right behind us is a puff of tear gas, and that gets his attention. And, I mean, people are going to start rushing out of there any second. So before he has time to think, we break out of the back door and get into the car with Scarlet and drive away. We don't go back to Kara's house, and instead she's waiting for us in an out-of-the-way motel. Scarlet pulled all of our equipment from the house when she left there, and we set some of it up inside this motel and show Kara the video. I mean, it's right there for her to see, and she has Jagger and I's word that what we saw was real and we saw it for ourselves. The reptilian nation is alive and well and real and working to spread across our nation and the world. I mean, Kara's glad and grateful that we were able to stop that ceremony, but she knows, just as we do, that this really isn't the end of anything. It just buys her some time to figure out what she wants to do. Her religion that she is in with her husband isn't a religion at all, and her husband isn't who she thinks he is at all. I mean, he's not what anyone thought he was or thinks he is. He has a great cover, though, because he's in movies and he hides right in front of our faces, as so many of them do. I mean, if I were some crazy researcher who wanted to study this stuff, I could have gone on with this for years. But doing the research we did, by doing that, we were able to get what Kara needed. And by Carly and I digging for more, we were able to confirm that the reptilian nation is already being watched. Although they're working their way into some of our high-powered positions, and they really are a threat to man, very important people are trying to maintain our status quo and work on a plan so that humans remain the dominant life form. And if you've listened to my Roswell episodes, or if you're getting into those stories at all, you know about Phoenix. Phoenix is well aware of the reptilian nation. They came down to our planet as an escape from dangers they were facing. Finding us, the challenge of power set in. And this all happened a long time ago, before anything with Phoenix or Roswell even happened. From what I can tell, Earth is, to the reptilian nation, a place to play, a place to rule. And the game or goal is to win. And by taking over and infiltrating powerful and admirable positions, they've gained our support and we've willingly given it without us even realizing what was going on. See what I mean? Looking into something like this could go on forever. But for me and my team, the job for Kara was technically done. We provided the proof. Filming the ceremony, watching A-List, and looking into things, it was now up to her what to do. And after this was all done, I did see, because, you know, some headlines you just can't miss, Kara and A-List were soon in a big divorce that was all over social media and everywhere else. Kara took their daughter and did go to New York and started some great work there. She knew as well as I knew that this species, this invading community, is not something that can be fixed or eliminated in a day. And we must go on living and doing what we do so that we as humans remain powerful too. And that's what she was doing. And that was my job, discovering the reptilian nation, the lizard people everyone's talking about. A little unsettling in the end, disturbing, but there are people fighting for us while they continue to work against us. And only time will tell what happens here if it ever gets to the surface. I hope you enjoyed this vlog. Like, subscribe, and find out when I post next. Until next time, and I will talk to you guys soon.